Alrighty. Well, today I want to talk about a very important principle, a principle that can change your life. In fact, will change your life. And it's a principle that you're familiar with the word, but most people don't understand a lot about this concept, but it is an important key to the kingdom. And we're going to study about it in the book of Malachi. Malachi was the last prophet of the Old Testament age. It is the last and final book in the Old Testament. So if you want to find it, just go to Matthew, put it in reverse, and back up a couple of pages, and you'll be at the book of Malachi. Now, Malachi prophesied 100 years after the Jews were returned from Babylon. If you remember, they went into exile, and 100 years after they returned is when Malachi is ministering. So the city has been rebuilt. The temple has been rebuilt. They had had a revival under Ezra and Nehemiah and Zechariah, and they accomplished a lot. But now it's years later, and once again, the people and the priests have backslidden. And in the book of Malachi, we can read some of the symptoms of their backsliding. Their worship had become outward and mechanical. Divorce was rampant. They were marrying people from outside of their religion, and they were marrying pagans. They were breaking the commandments. They were robbing God of his tithes and offerings. And those were, if you will, the symptoms. The results are also listed in the book of Malachi, and the results are a great dysfunction and a great brokenness in society, and families were broken, and there was great unrest in society. There was scarcity. There was violence. Now, what do you do when you find your society in that kind of a condition? Or maybe if you find your family, or you find your own life in a state of brokenness. Well, God raised up Malachi to tell us the remedy. He raised up Malachi to give the answer to what do you do when you're in that situation. Now, how many of you know if you're going to find the right answer, you've got to ask the right question? Unless you ask the right question, you'll never come up with the right answer. And our problem today in America is that our leaders, many of them, are not asking the right questions. So let's find out, because at the beginning of the book of Malachi, God gives us the right question. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. God, through the prophet Malachi, said, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master." At least that's how it should be. "But if I am a father, where is my honor?" How many of you believe God is our father? So he was Israel's father. He said, "If I'm your father, then where is my honor?" All the problems that they were having in Israel at that time, could it all come down to a question of honor? Is honor that important? Could that really be the answer to all the problems in Malachi's time and to many of the problems in our time? So what is honor, and what does it mean to honor God? You know, honor is one of the great secrets of life. It's one of the kingdom keys that are transformational. Understanding and practicing it changes our life. So let's look at it. Now, the book of Malachi, of course, is written in Hebrew. And in Hebrew, the word for honor is the word kabod. And it literally means to make heavy or to give weight to. So to honor somebody means you give them weight in your life. You grant them heavy influence in your life. It means that you give a careful attention to what they say and to what they think and what their values are. It means that you show gratitude to them. It means that you might obey them. It means that you greatly esteem them. It means that you declare their praises. And God says, if you honor me, I will what? Honor you. If you honor me, I'll honor you. God says, where is my honor? Their kingdom key of honor is stated in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Let's read it. Here's the kingdom key of honor. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. So the kingdom key of honor is that honor brings forth honor. But if we despise God, then we will be lightly esteemed. We will not be honored. Honor brings forth honor. Now, we looked at what honor is. Honor means to give weight to. So what does despise mean? Well, the Hebrew word is the opposite word for honor. And so if to honor means to give weight to, then to despise means to treat lightly, to take for granted, to ignore, to forget, to dismiss. And God says, if you honor me, I'll honor you. But if you treat me lightly, I won't honor you or esteem you. But if you honor me, I will honor you. Now, how many of you know the way we honor God is a different form than the way that God honors us? So let's look at that. The way that a lesser honors a greater is this. You declare their praises, to show gratitude, to obey, to greatly esteem, to declare their praises. That's how we honor someone greater. But for a greater, that is God, to honor us, that's something different. That means that he enriches us. That's how a greater honors a lesser. He honors you when he promotes you, when he empowers you, when he recognizes you, when he endorses you, when he gives you prominence. And God says, if you honor me in the way that you should as a creature, then I will honor you in the way that only I can as your creator and as the sustainer and the owner of all things. God promises wonderful blessings to those people who practice honor, but dishonor, what happens? It cuts us off. If we won't honor God, we won't be honored. Now, what I want to do is I want to talk about this kingdom key of honor that we just saw. If you honor me, I'll honor you, God says. So I want to go through quickly 7 principles to help us understand what honor is. And we're going to find the first one by going back to that verse that has the kingdom key of honor, and we're going to read the context. So we are now in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29 and 30. And here's the context. Eli is the high priest. He ministers at the tabernacle. He's helped by his 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And yes, there'll be a test at the end, so don't forget those names. Now, Hophni and Phinehas are not honorable men. And one of the things they're doing is they are not treating the sacrifices correctly, the way God told them to. And so they're misusing them. And one of the things that they're doing is they're taking the very best of the sacrifices that are come in, whether they're, you know, sheep or goats. They're taking the best meat for themselves. They're also doing things like seducing the women who come. And so listen to what God says to Eli. Why then do you scorn my sacrifices, my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling, and honor your sons above me? By fattening yourselves on the choicest parts of every offering of my people Israel. So he's holding Eli responsible for what his sons did. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house, that is the house of your father, should go in and out before me forever. So they were to have a lifetime appointment to be the priests in God's house. But now it's going to change. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. And here comes the principle. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. God said, Eli, you honored your sons above me. Why? Because those sons should have been publicly rebuked. Those sons should have been removed from their office, and those sons should have been disciplined. But Eli was more concerned about his son's approval, about his son's acceptance, and about his son's reputation than he was about God's acceptance and reputation. And so he didn't discipline him. And that decision meant that his sons became more and more dishonorable until finally they lost their life as a result of it. We have to make sure that we teach our children respect and to be honorable. Now, you have to ask the question, what did they do that was so wrong? Why was it so wrong for them to mishandle the sacrifices, to steal the best from the sacrifices? Here's the answer. It's because just like today we realize that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, that gains for us God's acceptance and God's forgiveness and God's love. In the Old Testament, God used the sacrificial animals as a temporary stand-in until the Messiah came. So they were sacrificed, and they became the channel for God's forgiveness and acceptance and blessing to the people. So if you mishandle the sacrifice, which is a channel, if you disrespect that, who are you disrespecting? God. If you dishonor the sacrifice, you're dishonoring God. And that brings us to the very first principle. Ready? Being honored by God is conditional upon honoring both the source and the channel of those blessings. So you can't dishonor the source without dishonoring the channel. Now, we know who the source of every good thing is. It's God. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. So every good thing comes down from God, but most of it comes to us through channels, okay? Most of it comes to us through channels. There's many different channels. For instance, employers, the church, the government, on and on. Parents, especially when you're young. Now, God protected you when you were a baby. But not directly, he protected you through parents. Those were his channels. How many of you guys changed a diaper for Jesus sometime in your life? How many of you guys pulled a kid out of traffic for Jesus? You know, David used to say when Andy was small, he goes, I don't get that kid. He walks into a room and he looks around and thinks, what in this room could kill me? And goes straight for it. So God has always used channels. Even today, God meets your needs, but he supplies your need through perhaps an employer. And God has instructed you in his word, but he's usually done it through a teacher. And God protects you today, but he does it through police and on and on and on. And here it is. The channel that God brings the supplier the blessing through is associated with God. You cannot dishonor the channel without dishonoring God. And that's what they were doing with the sacrifices. I want you to think about this. How was the gift of life, God's gift of life, given to you? It came through your parents. And because you are alive right now, that means if you're a Christian, that you can look forward to an eternity spent in heaven. I want you to think of the best day, the best moment, the happiest you've ever been, multiply it by infinity, and then realize that is what it's going to be like. That's what you have in your future. Forever and ever and ever. Not even a billion times a billion. Forever. And the only reason that you have the opportunity to have that kind of a life is because your parents gave you the gift of life. No matter how bad they were or what they did or didn't do, they gave you that opportunity that you could know eternal bliss forever in the presence of God. Now, in Luke 3, we have Jesus' genealogy. You know, it starts with Jesus was the son of Mary and Joseph. And then it goes all the way back this chain of so-and-so begat and so-and-so begat. And it goes all the way back through all his ancestors until we come to the end, Luke 3:38. So-and-so was the son of Enos, and he was the son of Seth, and Seth was the son of Adam. And then the human chain stops because Adam was the son of God. He had no earthly father. He received his life directly from Jesus. from God. And then he began to pass it on. And I want you to think about this chain. This end chain, or maybe if you have children or grandchildren, you're this chain or this chain. But this chain is you. And the next immediate chain or link in that chain would be your parents. And that chain goes all the way back. It's a long chain. It goes all the way back until it gets to the first link, and that's God. God gave us life. And that life, God's life, is passed straight down to us, and it passed through your parent. And so you cannot dishonor this link without dishonoring the whole chain. The chain is holy because God is at the head of the chain, because his gift came through to you. And it's not just your biological parents, but somebody shared the gospel with you. Somebody taught God's word to you. All the blessings that God brings into your life, every good and perfect gift comes down, and it comes to us through the chain. And so here's the second principle. When you honor the previous link, then you honor God, because the chain is holy and it stretches all the way to him. That reminds me of a story I read sometime. There was a rabbi, and he was flying on a plane, and an atheistic professor sat next to him. At the back of the plane was the rabbi's grown children. And throughout the flight, the grown children kept coming up and checking on their father. He was making sure he was comfortable, making sure he had everything that he needed, constantly honoring him. And the atheist professor who sat next to him thought to himself, that is impressive. And so he turned to the rabbi and he said, I'm just amazed. I wish my children taught me that way, the way they honor you. I wish my children would do that. And the rabbi said, well, think about it. He said, to my children, I'm the next nearest link in a chain that goes all the way back through our people, through the prophets, through Moses, through the patriarchs, all the way back to God. And to your children, you're just an inferior link that goes all the way back to a monkey. And you know, there's a lot of truth in that. Because once you stop honoring the head, there's nothing too special anymore about the chain. People who fail to honor their parents and leaders don't understand how God works. They don't understand how the world works. They don't understand that every good thing comes down through the chain. If your mom or your dad was a weak link, then let God splice in a new link. Maybe you lost a parent to death, or maybe it was alcohol. But God wants to bring the blessings down to you, and he'll splice in a new link, a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, a mentor, if you'll accept him. Even if your employer's bad, continue to honor the chain, because God will get the blessing to you through it. Now, I'm going to tell you something very important. I hope that you'll think about this when you go home. Really think about what I'm going to say. And that is it. Almost every single thing you ever get in life that's good, you will get because you honored somebody or something. Amen. Almost every good thing will be because you honored a parent, because you honored a teacher or a mentor or an employer, or because you honored something like the Bible or like the church, or like the principle of authority. When you honor those things, that's when the good things come. Almost every good thing you'll ever have will be a result of honoring someone or something. That brings us to number three. When God is no longer honored, soon no one is honored, because it starts with the first link. Either there's a holy chain or there isn't. Either it leads back to God or back to a monkey. When God is honored, pretty soon no one is honored. When God is no longer honored, no one is. And so not parents, not teachers, not police, not government officials, no one. Not founding fathers, not the Constitution. What do so many people say about the Constitution anymore? It's a hidebound document full of the prejudices and ignorance of a less enlightened age. How many know you're in trouble when you have that kind of dishonor going on? The result is always division and conflict and decline. Malachi 4, the very end, the last chapter, says that when the hearts of the children, one generation, are removed from the fathers, so that's not just the next generation, but the fathers going all the way back, it said, then the land falls under a curse. Let's go to number 4. Not giving honor leads to being disinherited. Not giving honor leads to being disinherited. In other words, you will lose what was meant for you. You will lose what was set aside for you. Malachi 2:2. God says, if you will not listen, and if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name. In other words, he says, listen up. You better listen, because I'm going to talk about something very important about honor. You better listen. You better take it to heart. You better ponder what I'm going to say. You better really think long and hard about what I'm going to say about giving honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts. If you don't do it, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. So he's saying you were chosen for blessing and honor, and that honor was dispensed, it was sent your way. But because you will not be honorable and honor God, therefore the blessing is going to catch up and overtake and consume the blessing. The blessing will wither on the vine before you have the time to be honored. Before it can come to fruition, it'll wither. Because you can lose your inheritance. You can be disinherited. How many of you know there's a lot of children that have been disinherited from their parents because they were dishonorable? We sing the song, America the Beautiful, God shed his grace on thee. And has any nation been as blessed as the United States? But if we continue to go down the road of not honoring God, then those blessings will be consumed. So how important is honor? How important is it that you and I learn honor? I want you to think about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are usually broken up into two sections. The first table are our duties to God, 1 through 4, and then Commandments 6 through 10 are our commandments about our social relationships to each other. The first 4 begin with the most important commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, God is to be honored above everything else. There is nothing that's to be honored above God. Then number 2, we're not to make any images to worship. Because how many of you know that if you try to make an image or an idol of God, or you try to paint a picture of God, or you try to capture God in a philosophy or in a poem or something, you're going to dishonor him, because God is greater than our intellect. He's greater than our imagination. He's greater than our artistic ability. And so God says, don't try to contain me in some idea you have, because it will dishonor me. It will be less than I am. Number 3, do not take my name in vain. In other words, never use God's name dishonorably. Always use it honorably. Whenever you talk about God, always do it in an honorable way. Number 4 is keep the Sabbath day. Don't forget me. Make sure that you honor me one day out of the week so I'm not forgotten. Put it as a regular part of your life. And then we get to the second table. And here again, the first commandment is the most important. And that's the 5th commandment. Let's read it. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The first and most important commandment given to us as people in society is to honor our father and our mother so that we can live long, so that our society can succeed. A failure to honor and a society cannot survive. If we don't first learn to honor our mothers and our fathers, and then through that, learn a principle of honor, of honoring all things, then a society will decline and be consumed. Everything will crumble. Let's go to principle number 5. Not honoring God is the chief sin that leads to all other sins. In Romans chapter 1, we're given a great, if you will, overview of human history and of the decline of humanity. And it talks about the fact that that which is known about God is evident in creation. Anyone who looks at the world knows somebody had to have made it. And it's evident in our heart. Every culture is religious. And beginning with Adam and Eve, people have denied that knowledge. Or look what it says in Romans 1:20. Although they knew God, that is Adam and Eve and every generation since, although they knew God by creation and by the inner witness, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Giving thanks is a form of honor. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. The first and greatest sin is to fail to honor God. And it said it led to their thinking becoming futile and their hearts becoming darkened. Their imaginations became darkened. When we forget honoring God, our thinking becomes clouded. Our consciences become darkened. And the rest of the chapter details the fall into degradation. Honor is that important. We must teach our children to honor, or else their future will be dark. There's a very vivid picture in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 30, verse 17. It says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley." That's a picture of somebody wandering completely lost in the wilderness without water or direction until finally they fall over and die, and the carnivores come and the scavengers come and eat them. And if we raise up a generation that does not honor their parents or their teachers, then they will wander lost like that, because honor is that important. My father never allowed us ever to speak disrespectfully or dishonorably to my mother or about my mother or about my teachers or about anybody else that was an authority in my life. And I'm so grateful. And I raised my children the same way. That brings us to the sixth principle. God sends leaders into your life with a reward or a benefit. It's like they've got a package that God's given them for you. And it's honor that opens the package. It's honor that gets the reward. Matthew 10:41. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Where do you think the prophet's reward is? It might be a word from the Lord for you. And if you'll honor a prophet because they're a prophet, you may get a word from the Lord. And he who honors a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's word. So if you honor people, not because of what they drive or how they're dressed or anything like that, but because they're honorable, because they're righteous, they've got something for you. It might be counsel. It might be advice. It might be correction. It might be something, because people who are righteous usually have a lot to give. And you could say that for every other leader that God might send into your life. You could say that about, you know, a teacher or a pastor. Let me just tell you something. I've learned this. I have gained so much by honoring people. For instance, Charles Simpson. He's been such a blessing in our life because we've honored him and many before them. But I've seen it from the other side too. It's really quite remarkable. I started noticing years and years ago that people that honored me as a pastor, in other words, the gift that I carried, something that God gave me and called me to, people that came in and they had an honorable response to that, here's what I noticed. I noticed that the that the supply of God was just, it's like they pulled it out of me. I mean, knowledge. Some of you guys are going to know what I'm talking about. Some of you home fellowship pastors and stuff. Knowledge and wisdom and insight and revelation, it would just flow. It's like they were pulling it out. And then I talked to other people, and it's like I had nothing to say. I mean, I couldn't think of anything clever or wise to give to them. You see, honor opens the package. I've seen it on both ends. Let's go now to Mark 6, 4 through 6. And here's the principle. We often miss God because we fail to honor those who are familiar around us. We look at people around us and we don't honor them because we know them so well, and we don't get what they would give us. It's even true of Jesus. You'll remember that Jesus went to his hometown, and they didn't honor him. And so he couldn't do hardly any miracles there, because they said, who does this guy think he is? I changed his diapers. I remember when he ran around here with a runny nose, and I blew his nose. And you know, his brothers live here. His sisters live here. Who does he think he is? And so he couldn't do any miracles there. Let's read it. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. And he could do no mighty work there. Why? Because Jesus, God doesn't respond to unbelief and dishonor. It's not going to be flowing there, folks. He could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, which meant there must have been a few people in that town that were willing to honor Jesus and believe in him. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Listen, we're often like that. We dismiss and dishonor what is known and what is familiar to us, and then we romanticize that which is far away and mysterious, right? So, you know, some other church or some other person, we just romanticize what it would be like. And then we miss out because we dishonor what is near and familiar to us. Dave and I have traveled many times to go to many places where there was moves of God going. And it was wonderful. We enjoyed it. But I know David would agree with me. I see him sitting over there. But for all that traveling, the greatest move of God that he and I ever touched and were a part of happened at this church when we were very small, few year round, when we just had, like, our auditorium was about 1/8 this big, and it was the greatest single experience I've ever had of the reality and the presence of God. And, you know, I've noticed that I've talked to people that wanted to be healed, and they went and traveled far places and had famous people pray for them, and that's fine. Because, you know, God has gifted people out there, and I think it's great if you go, but I'm just making a point here. And some of those same people did not get healed. And sometime down the line, somewhere, they just came on a Sunday, and somebody they don't even know whose name the person was prayed for them, and they were healed. I want to tell you, God does not need celebrity Christians or superstars. God, it says, is not a respecter of persons. And so as good as it is to go and visit someplace or sit under, you know, go to a seminar where somebody's teaching, I think that's great. Not if it makes us dishonor the people around us and not realize that God can use and will use everybody, even the people sitting next to you. All right, let's have the band. If I can have the worship team up here. I want to just close with this. How seriously do you take the principle of honor? How important do you think it is to learn about it? Do you know that to give honor is our calling? Look at what it says in Romans 12:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Here it comes. Outdo one another in showing honor. It says that we're to outdo each other. We're to try to outdo each other in showing honor. If we did that, showing honor and love, how blessed would we be? How would the hand of God be on our congregation to help us? 1 Peter 3:7 says that we're to show our wives honor. What would that do for your marriage if you guys decided to try and outdo each other in honor? God says, if you honor me and reverence me, I will honor you. And just to review, how do we honor God? We live our life in order to gain his approval. That's the whole purpose. We live to gain his approval. And a lot of people think, well, that's legalism. No, it's not. You cannot gain salvation. You cannot earn salvation. But every one of us sitting in this room is going to earn either God's approval or disapproval. That's a given. So you make it your goal to gain his approval because you honor him. You meditate on all his ways, and you remember that his ways are not like our ways. He sees everything. He sees the end from the beginning. We see this microscopic little bit we're trying to figure out. We don't know the answers to half the questions about our situation. We try to manipulate. No, we need to honor him by meditating and thinking on his ways, which are greater than our ways, and then trusting in them and obeying them. We need to walk in faithfulness. Honor is a kingdom key. It is a great life principle. Honor gains us access. Honor opens doors. How many of you know that? Not just honoring God, but honoring people. It opens doors and gains access. And honor flows both ways. God says, if you honor me in the way that you should as a creature, I will honor you in a way that only I can. I will sustain you. I will supply you. I will promote you. I will empower you. I will enrich you. I want to tell you, honor is a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. How many guys can agree with me? It's a great thing when God honors you.